First, we'll speak about Vishvarup, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brother. So, Vishvarup is considered to be an expansion of Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram. And he appeared, of course, before Lord Chaitanya. He's Lord Chaitanya's older brother. So, Vishvarup was very dedicated to the service of Advaitacharya and the other Vaishnavas there, and he regularly go over to Advaitacharya's house, which is called the Advaita Bhavan, which is right near where Lord Chaitanya appeared, the yoga pit. Actually, it's about 100 meters away. Or for those of you who don't know about meters, it's about 110 yards away to convert. So he would go over regularly and hear Krishna Katha, and sometimes he becomes so much immersed in Krishna Katha there that he wouldn't come home for prasadam. So his mother, that Sachi Mata, had to call him by sending Nimai. Nimai, of course, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So she sent Nimai over, and when all the Vaishnavas saw Nimai, they became completely enraptured with Nimai's beauty, because Nimai is Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. And they just said, wow, who's the fortunate mother who has such a child like this? And Nimai was about 4 years old or something like that. And who's the fortunate mother who has that child? So Nimai called his brother over, and then they took prasad. So what happened eventually is that we know in the Indian families, the parents consider marrying their children. It's extremely important. So they're planning on these marriages basically from the time the child is born. They're looking for a suitable mate. As we read the other day, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur got married at 8 years or 12 years. Anyway, very young age, and his wife was 5 years old when they got married. They didn't live with each other, as I mentioned before. It was simply a betrothal. Betrothal means it's a promise of marriage. The actual marriage takes place later on. And even if there's an actual marriage, they don't live with each other until they're past puberty and the proper age for living with each other. So so they were thinking, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, they were thinking about Vishwarupa and how to get him married. And they were talking one night about this, and Vishwarupa happened to be listening in at the door. And he was listening to his parents, you know, talking, planning his marriage. And, do you think this girl would be nice for him? No, she's a little tall. Do you think this girl? No, now the family's not so good. You know how marriage, I don't know if any of you know, of course you know how marriage discussions go in the Indian families. But, you know, her family, it'll be a little embarrassing for us to marry into that family because they're concerned about reputation. So they just talk like that. They go on for days and days. And the marriages are so important that they spend sometimes millions of dollars on the marriage. Of course, that Natal, who is one of the... he's a steel magnate, one of the biggest steel magnate in the world, you know. And he spent, I think, $20 million on his daughter's marriage. And even people who don't have much money, they're just making a few rupees a day, will spend the equivalent of thousands of dollars on their daughter's marriage. And they'll hire bands with the trumpets. They have this rolling amplifier that they have in it. It's interesting. It's like a rickshaw with an amplifier and speakers on the back and the front. And it's so loud that you just want to scream, you know, why are they doing this? But so to announce the marriage, and the marriage party goes through the street, and traditionally the man would wear a crown, and he'd be on a horse. Of course, Prabhupada said in that regard, king for a day, slave for a lifetime. But Prabhupada made a joke when there was a marriage party going by. So they were talking about this. Anyway, getting back to the point, they were talking about Vishwarupa's marriage, and Vishwarupa was thinking, I just want to serve Lord Chaitanya. And actually, it's a very appropriate day for Prabhupada to have taken sannyas too, because it was Vishwarupa was the person who just ran away from home. Just like some of us joined the Hare Krishna movement in the early 70s or 60s because our parents had other plans for us. What were the other plans? They wanted, for example, in my case, they wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever it was. And so one day we just ran away from home. And actually Prabhupada also ran away from home. He didn't tell them, at least they didn't believe that he was going permanently when he went away from home. They thought, oh, he's coming back. Like he always goes for business and comes back, but he never came back. Prabhupada said it was a trick. A trick. But of course, he had already taken care of his responsibility, you know, married his children. Actually, one of his daughters wasn't married, but he was just so frustrated with his wife, you know, and his dedication to his spiritual master that it's just like, you know, everything's taken care of, they'll be all right. So it wasn't an irresponsible thing. In the case of Visvarupa, obviously, there wasn't any marriage, but there was the attempt to arrange a marriage. And when he heard that, he became so upset that very night he ran away from home. And he took sannyas. Shankaranya Swami was his name. And he traveled all over India like that. Eventually, in the holy place, he left this world. I mean, of course, he has a spiritual body, so you don't really say he left his body. He left this world, and it's described because he was an expansion of Nityananda Prabhu. He merged into Nityananda, who was already on the planet, because Nityananda was older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, too. So the expansion merged into the original. A little difficult to understand how that is. But in any case, he is an expansion of Nityananda. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used the search for his brother as an excuse to go all over South India. And the reason he wanted to go to South India was to purify people and to give them Krishna consciousness. But he said, I'm looking for my brother who has taken sannyas. And so finally he found out news of Shankaranya, who was Visvarupa. So today is Visvarupa's appearance day. It's called Visvarupa Mahotsava. Mahotsava means a big utsava. Utsava means festival. So there's a big festival today. So we'll all be taking breakfast at a festival in the White House with Barack Obama. A White House? Barack Obama? No, you didn't get the joke. Anyway, so forget it. You're all sleepy. So that's Visvarupa. Visvarupa Mahotsava. It's a very important day. So on this day, Srila Prabhupada took sannyas from his godbrother Keshava Maharaj. So I'd like to speak about, maybe read a little bit from the Prabhupada Lilamrita about this. Prabhupada was very close to Keshava Maharaj. And Prabhupada had continually had this dream. And in this dream, his spiritual master was beckoning to him. It's not just at this point, but many years before. I mean, the dream had occurred to Srila Prabhupada many, many times. In the dream, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to Srila Prabhupada and was beckoning Srila Prabhupada to take sannyas. And Prabhupada, one time he told the story and he said he was horrified. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is an absolutely pure devotee of the Lord, but sometimes due to the influence of yoga maya, there's this spiciness in the pastime, just like the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They are forgetting that about their ontological position, who they are in the spiritual world, and all the residents of Vrindavan are forgetting who they are. So in the same way, you know, Srila Prabhupada and also Arjuna forgot who he was. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, acted. It's like a dramatic performance, like an attached person. Even though he wasn't attached, he was attached to Krishna, because Prabhupada said at other times that there was never a time when he forgot Krishna or did not think of Krishna. So Prabhupada had this dream, and he said he was horrified. And in the dream, Bhakti Sananta was saying, come on, come on, take sannyas, take sannyas. And it's described here that Bhai, which was Prabhupada's name before, which means he who is fearless, Abhaya Chandanandavinda, having taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, understood that this instruction to take sannyas was very much connected with the instruction Srila Prabhupada got the first time he met his spiritual master. It's interesting. The first time he met his spiritual master, his spiritual master told him to preach in English and save the world, basically speaking. And he had an argument. He presented his doubt to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, you know, who's going to believe, you know, Indian preaching when India is a captive country? That was Prabhupada's argument with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur basically defeated that argument because it doesn't really matter, you know, the political realities of a particular country insofar as preaching Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is transcendental. Prabhupada was, of course, acting as if he were a member of Gandhi's movement. Gandhi's movement was a movement for independence, and Prabhupada was dressed in this rough sewn cloth that was not woven by machines, but it was woven by hand. So it's called khadi. Khadi cotton. This is not khadi cotton that I'm wearing right now. This is machine cloth. And so many times in India, they would burn the machine cloth that came from Great Britain, because in Great Britain they would buy up all the raw materials, the cotton from India, and then process it in Great Britain. You buy it at a low price, process it in Great Britain, and sell it at a high price as processed cloth back to India. And so they were exploiting on both ends, buying at a low price and selling it at a high price. So part of Gandhi's movement was that they would burn, they would make bonfires of this processed cloth like this. And a sign of someone who was a member of Gandhi's movement is they would wear the khadi, or the rough cotton cloth. So Prabhupada was wearing that, and then basically he also... He also refused to accept his degree, even after he went to the university or college, even though he did graduate, but he wouldn't accept the degree as a protest against the British, because the school was run by the British. So it's very much connected, Srila Prabhupada's taking sannyas, to the original order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because it was required to go to the West, or to go anywhere for preaching Krishna consciousness, to be completely renounced, because there was no material amenities. There was, yeah, I think it's a little noisy. Sorry about that. As much as I'd like you to peel the vegetables, but there are no. No, I'm sorry I interfered with your service. But anyway, so it was required that someone, no money or anything like that someone be really renounced and not have any family responsibilities or any other responsibilities in order to go to the West. So, and sannyas means more than just giving up your family. A sannyas actually is composed of two words, san and nyas. Nyas means renunciation. San means to accept. Like sangha, you understand? Sannyas. So it's really, yukta vairagya is very much built into this word of sannyas. Yukta vairagya means to accept those things which are favorable for spreading Krishna consciousness and renounce those things that are not favorable, which are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's two surrendering principles. So we are not nyasis. Nyasi means someone who just renounces. We are sannyasis. And the opposite of, anyasi, just let me say a little bit about what Prabhupada talked about, someone who's just a renunciate. He called that Falgu Vairagya, which basically means, referring to a river, the Falgu River, which appears to be completely dry, but if you dig a little bit, like 2 inches underneath the surface, there's still water running. So if someone is simply renounced from the material world, it appears they're renounced, you know, without engaging in devotional service. But if you go right below the surface into their consciousness, you'll find that their mind and heart is full of desires. You know, they're pretenders. Most of these yogis are just pretenders because they're just manifesting some sort of detachment. But, you know, there's still all the seeds, the kuta and the bija that is there in their hearts. So, Sannyas actually means to engage things in Krishna service, be renounced, understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. So that was the meaning of sannyas in Abhaya's mind. So Srila Prabhupada was actually thinking about this. You know, what should I do? So, you know, how am I going to preach Krishna consciousness? And he had previously written this thing called the Viraha Ashtaka. And the Viraha Ashtaka, Viraha means separation. Ashtaka means eight prayers of separation from his spiritual master. And even in those eight prayers, and there's another prayer called the Vrindavan Bhajan, he criticized the preaching of the Gaudiya Math, because the Gaudiya Math had broken up into different organizations. Rather than forming a GBC and governing cooperatively or working cooperatively under the GBC. And you could see that tendency is there. You know, we've also had similar situations in this. We haven't broken up, but there have been certain members who have formed their own organizations. So that was directly against Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as well as against Srila Prabhupada's will, that people would form their own organizations outside of ISKCON and even compete with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, therefore, Prabhupada was very upset with this. Because the worldwide mission was destroyed. Not because they weren't preaching or they weren't sannyasis or they weren't bona fide gurus or anything like that. Prabhupada never criticized his godbrothers for not being bona fide gurus. But because the concept of changing the world, which was actually the Vaishnava's concept, like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we wouldn't be satisfied until all the Supreme Court justices were wearing tilak. You know, we'd go to the Washington, D.C., and we see all the 12 justices wearing tilak. That would be pretty good. So the concept that Prabhupada had, and as well as his spiritual master, as well as all the previous acharyas, was to change the world. I mean, that's why I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I didn't join the Hare Krishna movement, you know, just to be in a temple and just to be happy, you know, just chanting Hare Krishna. It was the mood we had in the 1960s and 70s was that the whole world is going to change. You know, we really had this concept in our mind. Isn't it a perfect proof? Yeah, you remember that? You know, it's just not we're going to sit in this little house in Gainesville, Florida. I mean, I joined the movement and we were in a little tiny house. It was the whole house was the size of half this room, and all the brahmacharis lived there and the women lived there. We shared bathrooms and everything like that. That, you know, we're just going to be happy in this house and be a fancy householders. But our, you know, the name of brahmachari life. But our concept was that, you know, it's going to take over. So the idea is that as soon as you're a little trained up, you're going to go out and open up a temple. And, you know, and we had devotees who went to Tallahassee, devotees who went to Tampa. Apushta Krishna went to Tampa. And what's his name? Did the Mahabharata, Purnapragya. Purnapragya and his wife, Narayani, went to Tallahassee. Yeah, anyway, Purnapragya is sort of separated from the movement right now. His wife is preaching very enthusiastically. It shows women sometimes remain more than the men. So they went to Tallahassee, and there was Orlando preaching and Tampa preaching. So and it was with a skeleton crew. You know, basically we had just like a bunch of young men and some young ladies there. And the idea was that every available moment you would spread out and just open up more temples, bring more people, and it was a very exciting time. Because we wanted the mantra was every town and village. In a literal sense, not that you just go there with a Harinam, but you'd actually have Krishna consciousness in every town and village. So we envisioned people taking over political positions. Amarendra Prabhu ran for office. Mm-hmm. Balavanta was running for office until Prabhupada stopped that because there was some contamination that entered into the In God We Trust party. Balavanta and also Rupanuga was part of that party. So there was that really mood. So that was Prabhupada's mood. So to answer the question, you know, why do we stay together in ISKCON? Is because that's the only way to fulfill the desire of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to work as a unified society. I mean, I can work, or you can work, or any of us could work individually and do our own little thing. Fine, you know, that's nice, you know, Krishna's happy. But to fulfill Prabhupada's desire, you have to just, you know, sacrifice some of your own, like, ideas to be able to cooperatively do something. I mean, it's just like fighting in a war. You can just go out there with a gun yourself and start shooting the enemy. That's fine. I mean, at least you're a hero. But if you join the army, you've got tanks. Hate to use this example. It's a fighting example. Just like yesterday there was someone who did a past life regression and they were fighting their last life. You know, they were enjoying fighting, right? So you have tanks, you have like unmanned aerial vehicles, you have like airplanes to back you up, you know, and you can really like take over a country. One man's not going to take over a country, right? You know, one man, even with the best machine gun, here I am, you know, turn the country over to me. It has to be a whole movement. That's why I probably call the Hare Krishna movement, not an individual. So Prabhupada was very disturbed with his godbrothers for doing what they did. And in fact, he criticized many of them for being the architects of the Acharya philosophy. There should be one Acharya. And that's ultimately what caused the breakup of the Gaudiya Math, because there were different groups who had different ideas of who the Acharya should be. And some of them thought Vasudeva. Anyway, I'm not going to mention all the names, but they were fighting. And there may be even fighting in the court today going on about who the Acharya of the Gaudiya Math is, although it doesn't make any difference who it is at this particular juncture. So Prabhupada wanted us to work together. And Srila Prabhupada was extremely disgusted with his godbrothers. Of course, Prabhupada said later on that we should not criticize his godbrothers. Some of the immature devotees in our movement used those words of Prabhupada to commit Vaishnava aparadhas against some of the Gaudiya Math entities who were actually great devotees. But Prabhupada's disappointment was not in them so much personally, but in basically the breakup of his spiritual master's mission and the inability of the Gaudiya Math to carry out the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada had written these poems, and I advise you to read them. There's the Varaha Ashtaka and the Vrindavan Bhajan that manifest this particular mood. So there was also a Vedic standard, too, that Prabhupada thought about, that the if one wanted to lead a preaching movement, sannyas was required. Now, that's also because of the culture. You know, people naturally respect a sannyasi. Even if a sannyasi is a rascal, they give him respect. I mean, I experience that. Even though I'm a rascal, people respect me sometimes. So, just because I'm a sannyasi. And then Prabhupada had a neighbor who would go out and beg dressed as a sannyasi every day, come back, and he was a householder, and dress in white at night, saffron during the day, and people gave him money and other things just because he got natural respect. So that's one reason. That's also the reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, because people were not listening to him. Even his students, they were making fun of him for chanting, you know, the names of the gopis, or they weren't able to understand him. So he took sannyas that they would respect and not commit offenses. So that's one reason. That's a cultural reason. Another reason is, actually, there's several other reasons, that when you're sannyasi, then people know that you're not like making money or acquiring things, and your preaching is simply a method to do those things. Now, sometimes you see in the West you have these preachers who, Jimmy and Tammy Faye, hate to mention their names, they acquire a lot of material goods and they build big houses and everything. So sannyasi should be renounced from these things. I mean, he could have a little ashram or something like that, but he shouldn't have a whole garage full of the latest model cars. And sometimes people, in order to criticize ISKCON sannyasis, they make up stories about them like that. They say that there's one story about me that I have $12 million in the bank and a garage full of the latest model cars and indoor swimming pool, indoor gymnasium. And I've been looking for it since they mentioned it. I haven't found it yet. You know, I'm very disappointed. So people criticize like that. You know, it's like, so sannyasa has to be very careful because a spot on a white cloth can be seen very, very clearly. So a sannyasi has to be very careful to make sure, you know, with his dealings with finances and his dealings with ladies and his dealings with even computers, he has to be very, very careful that he's not seen as having some personal interest. So that's another reason for sannyas. So the people respect, you know, he doesn't have a, you don't have a bank account. Sannyasi shouldn't have bank accounts. So, and another reason is that sannyas is actually a vow. There's a mantra that we learn when we take sannyas, that it's a vow to just serve the Lord with your body, mind, and word. So it's actually a promise to the Lord. It's something to focus on. It's a mission statement. That's another reason for sannyas. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally had advised against people taking sannyas in Kali Yuga because sannyas was misused, or the order of sannyas, or people in the order of sannyas misused that order. And even in the Vedic literatures, there's certain things that are prohibited. Because Lord Chaitanya knew that there would be many cheaters in the guise of sannyasis. And we find that today. There's swamis, and now even nowadays there's swaminis who do all sorts of things to make money, you know. And I'm not going to get specific about it. And it's very difficult also in Kali Yuga to follow the rules and regulations because Manda Samanda, Manda Bhagya Padrata. People are short-lived, unfortunate, less intelligent, memory's gone. So, but Srila Prabhupada knew that if he wanted to spread the Sankirtan movement, he had to take the order of sannyas for all these various reasons we mentioned previously. It was absolute necessity to take sannyas. Of course, when he came to America, it's not that people knew the difference between a sannyasi and a householder, or a sannyasi and any other order of life. I mean, it wouldn't have made a difference to the first Americans. But there's an internal reason for sannyas. You actually get more empowered. Just like when you take initiation, you make a vow. And that vow, if you stick to it, empowers you. It's like an austerity. So even if people don't recognize the difference between sannyas and any other form of life, Krishna recognizes the difference, and he empowers you especially because you're sacrificing something for him, for his service. And you're sacrificing, you know, the personal self-interest for his service. Okay. So Prabhupada recognized that, and he wanted to approach his godbrothers, obviously, for taking sannyas. Several times we have people taking sannyas without approaching anybody, like we have the story of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, who took sannyas from a picture of his spiritual master, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He just put a picture there, did the fire sacrifice by himself, and took sannyas. And of course, Ramanujacharya took it from another sannyasi, but he also played a trick to get rid of his wife. I'm not advising that you householders do that. You know, you play a trick. You tell your wife, go visit your father, and she comes back and finds. Tamal Krishnamaraj also did a similar thing. Tamal Krishnamaraj took his original set of Bhagavatams, you know, the Prabhupada had given him, and his wife was very suspicious. Why are you taking this original set of Bhagavatams? And she knew that something was happening. And Tamal Krishnamaraj would sit outside of Prabhupada's room. He wouldn't actually go in to Prabhupada's room because he was just so determined. And devotees were asking, why doesn't Tamal Krishnamaraj come in? And Prabhupada said, he's just very determined. And then Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishnamaraj, how can I give you sannyas? Because, you know, what will your wife say? Because Tamal Krishnamurti's wives' friends were actually there at that time, and they were canvassing against his taking sannyas. So, and what will your wife say? And she won't like it. And Prabhupada said, Tamal Krishnamurti said, whether I take now or take in 20 years from now, she won't like it. So better, she doesn't like it now, it'll be less painful. So he was like, it's an interesting argument. And Prabhupada gave him sannyas. I think it was in Jaipur he took sannyas, if I remember correctly. So, anyway, getting back to the story. So, Srila Prabhupada was very determined to take sannyas. So, he first approached Bhakti Vilas Tirtha, who was formerly Kunja Bihari. He was actually one of the main leaders of the different Gaudiya Mathas, especially the Chaitanya Math in Calcutta. And he was one of the people who was fighting in court for possession. He was previously, let's say, the person who was in charge of all the business of the Gaudiya Math. He was an expert manager. And he didn't take sannyas until Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left the planet. So he owned this math, the Calcutta math, the Bhag Bazar math. And he was claiming that this is actually the center of the Gaudiya Math. And so Prabhupada thought that if he would take sannyas and go preach in America, he would give the Gaudiya Math in Calcutta the first opportunity to sponsor his work. So he went to Tirtha Maharaj. And Tirtha Maharaj said, first, you got to join our organization. And he said, anyone who's acting against our organization is in Maya, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the standard guilt trips, that if you don't listen to me, you're in Maya. So if you don't serve my organization, everybody else, all these other Brahmas that are in Maya, but we're actually the real thing. So the first thing you should do is join the Gaudiya Math and act under my direction. And we have some nice rooms here that are well lit and everything. And you'll be very, very comfortable. But as far as printing books, you know, we have a whole list of other books we'd like to print, like Jiva Goswami Sundarbas, the Vedanta, and other things. And then we have a priority. And if some funds can be raised later on, you know, maybe we'll send someone abroad. But, you know, right now we have our own priorities, so you should cooperate. You know, this word cooperate can also be used to try to manipulate people, like cooperate with me. So that's the same thing as saying, you know, just surrender to me. But cooperation is a two-way street. I mean, actually, he should have just said, that's wonderful, you want to go abroad. We don't have much funds, but we encourage you, and we'll give you facility if you want to raise funds. You know, that's a way to do it, even if they had other priorities. So Srila Prabhupada was not encouraged at that particular juncture. He was actually so determined, he was working with a broken typewriter. That means some of the keys didn't work. And Prabhupada had no money. But he understood he had to print his books. And without printing books, you know, what are you going to do? When you go to the Western world, you just start speaking. You have to have something to back up what you're saying. And then what's the use of taking sannyas unless you have books? And the books and the sannyas, they go together. So Prabhupada wrote back to Tirtha Maharaj mentioning that he had a direct order to preach to the Western world, to English-speaking people. But Tirtha Maharaj discouraged him at that particular point. He said, later on, the Gaudiya Math can decide about this. You should not act independently. We will consult with all the heads of our society to see what is the proper thing to do. And it's important to have a dignified organization first. And first, you should understand nobody's giving any lectures anymore in America. They're just doing everything through television. That was the argument. I mean, it's a direct quote from the letter here. They're just, communication is only being done through television. So what is the use of you going there, you know? Like we would say, communication is only being done through the internet, so just stay in your room and communicate on the internet. Of course, we can preach. I mean, we have our godbrother, Sankarshan Prabhu, who is preaching to thousands of people every day on the internet. So the internet is a viable means of preaching. You could go all over the world. I was just speaking to someone yesterday who was in Hawaii. She's giving, like, lectures with PowerPoint presentations every day to hundreds of people. you know, and it's going on the internet. You can see the PowerPoint presentation as she's preaching. That's Mother Irmela, of course. So, I mean, there is. I'm not decrying the internet preaching. But anyway, so next, Prabhupada turned to Keshava Maharaj in Mathura. And Keshava Maharaj, speaking on behalf of his spiritual master, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, told Prabhupada, take sannyas immediately. Didn't have to get GBC approval. So, so now that he was being encouraged so strongly, he resisted a little bit. He said, why am I being encouraged? You know, one person is telling me, don't. The next one is pushing me to take sannyas. But it, this is Prabhupada's quote. Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, Prabhupada was quoting from his godbrother. You must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, nobody can become a preacher. So he insisted. Practically, my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher. He forced me through this godbrother. You accept. So unwillingly, I accepted. You know, sometimes you really want something, and then all of a sudden, it comes, and you're thinking, do I really want it? Yeah, because it's a whole change of life. I mean, when you've been living as a grahasta, or vanaprastha, as Prabhupada had been living, for so many years, you know, having a change of life when you're almost 70 is very difficult. You know, it's a very difficult change in your life. You're accustomed to certain standards. So, at the Keshava Gaudiya Mouth in Mathura, Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, and he entered the mouth dressed in white, and he came out dressed in saffron. But he was already a renunciate for 9 years in the Vanaprastha order. That's when he had left his family, 9 years before that. And then he became a Tridandi sannyasi. The morning of September 17th, 1959, before the deities of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. And there's a description here in the Prabhupada Lilamrita of how the deities were dressed. That's really interesting. And how the altar was set up. And he took sannyas with 90-year-old Sanatan, who was to receive sannyas that day. And there's a nice picture of Prabhupada and Sanatan and Keshava Maharaj. Keshava Maharaj is sitting, and Prabhupada is, if you look at his visage, I mean his face, Prabhupada has like the tenor of a lion, you know, just like preaching. So Prabhupada actually said preaching Krishna consciousness is a kshatriya business. It's not, you know, of course, it's Brahmin, I understand, it's Brahmin business, but one has to have the mood of a kshatriya, like fighting. And Prabhupada also said you have to be like a lion on the chase, a lamb at home. It's not that you should be, when you're back at the temple, you should just like be blasting everybody to bits, but you should be. So everybody, in the early days of the movement, everybody went out to preach. We had this book distribution, everybody went out sometime during the week and preached, or even at night after you did your deity worship, people would go to the nearest 7-Eleven. Remember those days? And they would distribute books. You know, I remember doing deity worship all day long, and then I just went, it was in Dallas, Texas, really. And then I just went to the 7-Eleven, that means that, I think you know what a 7-Eleven is. So, and then we just did books for about an hour before I took rest. So this was the mood. It was really very, very sweet in Krishna consciousness. And so anyway, so Prabhupada took sannyas. And there's an account of Prabhupada taking sannyas in this Gaudiya magazine. Seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write articles in English, Hindi, and Bengali, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur gave him the instruction to take Tridandi sannyas. For nearly 1 year, he'd been ready to accept sannyas in the month of Bhadra. On the day of which Vishwarup accepted sannyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshavaji Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from the founder of the Vedanta Samhiti. Seeing him accept his ashram of renunciation, seeing this pastime of accepting the renounced order of life, we have all attained great affection and enthusiasm. Okay? Jai. All glories to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai.